Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flame above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I find my greatest treasure, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood.
Beloved, welcome. Welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship. We are thrilled that you can join us. Whoever you are and wherever you are, we love to hear from you, so please drop us a line after you've watched this service. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is the last Sunday in Epiphany, so would you join me in this call to worship? God has set before us life and death. We long to choose life. God has set before us blessings and curses. We long to choose blessings. So we gather this morning in community with Christ and with each other. We gather to to choose life in unity with God and one another. Let us share God's love with all. Let us feast on the Word. Let us worship God with joy. And if you light a candle for worship, let's do that together, remembering that Jesus came to show us the way back to God and that He is the light of the world. Let's pray together. God, Creator, for your glory shining forth in sky and sea, in the changing light on the hills, in the flight of birds, in the plants of the field, for the gift of life in all its fullness, we thank you. Jesus, Redeemer, for blessing children, healing the sick, raising up the lowly, suffering the brokenness of the world in your own body, that we might have fullness of life, we thank you. Holy Spirit, Comforter, for breathing new hope and strength into our lives, breaking down barriers, drawing human beings together in love, resisting all that diminishes fullness of life, we thank you. Holy Trinity, in all that we do and say and are, may we always choose life for ourselves and for our neighbours. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer of confession for today. Loving God, you call us into community. Teach us your ways and bless us with abundant life. Yet we turn aside to follow other paths. We take the easy way out, listening to the world's call rather than your call to commitment. We quarrel with one another, letting differences divide us. We cherish our resentments and shut off our hearts from forgiveness and reconciliation. And we cling to petty jealousies, feeling we deserve more than we have. Forgive us when we wander from your love. Draw us into community with each other, and fill us with your grace, so that we may grow in faithfulness and work together in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, God is at work, nurturing our growth and showing us ways that lead to life. God is at work reconciling us to one another and teaching us the paths of love. God is at work hearing our confessions, forgiving us when we falter, and blessing us with grace and love. This is all part of the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're reading verses 15 through 20. Today I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I do give you today, if you love him, obey him, and keep all his laws, then you will prosper, and you will become a nation of many people. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to occupy. But if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away to worship other gods, you will be destroyed. I warn you here and now, you will not live long in that land across the Jordan that you are about to occupy. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse, and I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life, Love the Lord your God, obey him, and be faithful to him, and that you and your descendants will live long in the land that he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The word of the Lord.
In our weekly Bible study on Wednesday mornings, we're working our way through the book of Genesis. And I think it's safe to say that we are all really enjoying the experience. It's like we're getting to pan back a bit and we're seeing our faith through a wider lens that includes the Old Testament from the very start. Well, that study may be what has prompted me to pick our Old Testament reading from the lectionary for today. And I need to warn you that there's going to be more Old Testament readings coming throughout the season of Lent, which is nearly upon us. During those weeks, we are going to mine some well-known passages from the Old Testament. And we're going to look at them for how they can deepen our faith and teach us to follow Jesus more closely. So I'm excited about that series. I hope you will be with us throughout it. Today's passage actually comes to us from near the end of a long message that Moses brought to the Israelites as his time leading them was about to come to an end. After 40 years of wilderness wanderings, they were finally poised to enter the land that God had promised would be their new home. Moses has completed his call to lead them out of Egypt and throughout those wilderness years. And here he is about to hand the reins of leadership over to Joshua before he dies. The section that we are in today is actually the culmination of Moses' farewell address to the people. Now you'll remember that Moses was the one through whom God had given the people the Mosaic Covenant, a covenant that was really structured around the law and the centrality of the law in people's lives. So we might expect that at this point, Moses would restate the Ten Commandments or some other central aspects of the law, that he would want to urge them to remember those things when he's gone. But he doesn't explicitly do that. Instead, in essence, he says this: I've set before you life and death, good and evil. If you obey the commands of God, loving God and walking in his way, then you'll live and you'll be blessed in the land that God is giving you. If you turn away from God to other gods, you'll perish. He kind of repeats himself and sums it up. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. So choose life, obeying and loving God, so that you will live long in the land God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses makes this direct connection between our attentiveness to God and God's ways and life. He says that if we listen to God and obey God's laws, then we will surely experience life in all its goodness. Now, lots of times we are linear thinkers, and as linear thinkers can tend to do, we've sometimes heard this as a bit of a formula. As in, if I keep God's commands and do what God says, then I will ensure that life goes well for me. As is so often the case, turning our life with God into a simple formula like that can bring all sorts of problems. In some of the worst cases, this kind of thinking has been used to underscore something we call the prosperity gospel. And it's the belief that if we live right in God's eyes, God will make us healthy and wealthy and maybe even wise. It's like, I follow God and God will make me well, or God will make me rich, or God will make me famous. I have to say, I honestly cannot understand how people who follow someone who actually ended up on a cross, how we could think that Jesus actually would work that way. It doesn't make any sense to me, but Some people do think that. And to be fair, you know, it's not a huge stretch to get there from this passage. But nevertheless, that is not what Moses is saying here. Life in this not yet restored old world isn't quite that simple, is it? Sometimes bad things happen to very faithful people. Some of the most faithful people I've ever met were living in conditions that are actually the furthest thing from prosperity you could imagine. And as unfair as it seems, as we all know, sometimes good things come to unfaithful people. Our misfortune and our blessings cannot always be attributed to God's judgment or God's benevolence. Sometimes they can, but not always, and certainly not often enough to make a hard, fast formula out of it. So as much as it might seem to make things easier for us, Moses' words don't give us a formula like that. What they do give us is more of a prescription for how to pursue the life God wants for us, a life that we actually long for ourselves. The prescription is really summed up in the last two verses from our reading, where Moses urges us to choose life. And he says that you can do that, you can find that life by doing three things: loving the Lord your God, listening to his voice, and holding fast to him. Choose life. You know, that word life, it's a key word in this reading. It repeats over and over throughout it. And you have heard me say here before that it is a much more important word in our faith than we sometimes remember. We get a sense of that in these final words from Moses. Speaking to God's people, Moses really lays out a bigger picture. All of God's movements towards us since the beginning have been about leading us to this life that we were created for. And since the beginning, God has given us a choice of whether we pursue that life or not. That's what it all boils down to. Our choices can lead to life or they can lead to death. So Moses urges us to choose wisely, to choose life, and to do that by doing those three things: loving God, listening to what he says, and holding on to him. That's the prescription. That's the way that will lead us to this life that God is quite literally moving heaven and earth to give us. Well, there are a couple of important things for us to remember about this life that God promises. The first is this: while that life is absolutely for each of us and for each of us to choose for ourselves, it is not only for each of us. Remember that Moses was talking to the whole community of God's people, people who were about to enter their new land and establish their communal life there. They were to be a nation of people who were called to become a living example of what it looks like when people are able to live in this way according to that prescription. Collectively, they were to experience and to embody this life that Moses was urging them to choose. So remembering that this life is by its very nature communal is absolutely essential for us. In fact, I am prepared to go so far as to say that if we neglect to remember that this promise of life isn't just about us as individuals, but is also very much about us as a community of people, if we forget that, then we will inevitably fall short and we won't end up discovering the life that we are pursuing. It can't just be about me and God. It must be about each other, about us and God. Remember, the heart of the law that God gave Moses to give to the people was the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were given to show us how to love God and how to love each other. So the first thing to remember about this life is that it is not just about me, not just about you. It's about us. It's about us as a community, and please God, ultimately a global community that God is establishing. So getting our eyes off of ourselves is really important if we want to find our way to that life we seek. The second thing for us to remember about this life is that Israel was never able to fully live out that call to become that living example of a faithful community of people living perfectly with God and with each other. And as we well know, just read the news or look around you, we haven't been able to do it yet either. As much as we might be convinced that this life with God is actually what we want, and as much as we might try to pursue it, we still falter in our efforts. Sometimes our own flawed characters are the problem for us, and other times it's the brokenness that still exists in this world that gets in the way. And so, in answer to both of those problems, in his infinite love and grace, God sent us Jesus. He gave us Jesus both to make the way for us and to show us the way. Through his death, Jesus made the way. He dealt with all of the things within us and within our world that prevent us from being able to consistently make those choices that lead to life. He made the way. And in his life, he showed us the way. Jesus modeled for us the life Moses is urging us to pursue. He has shown us what it looks like if you're able to live loving God, listening to his voice, and holding fast to him. So through his death and resurrection, Jesus ensured that that life can be ours. And through his life, he modeled and taught us how to pursue it. All of that is actually what's packed into Jesus' words when he says to us in John, "I came so that you will have life and life to the full." Jesus has shown us that life. He's done the work to secure it for us. And one day he's going to complete his mission of bringing us and our world to it entirely. And until that day comes, we listen to the wisdom of Moses. Today, to the best of our abilities, we choose life. And tomorrow, we wake up and we choose life again. And we do that again and again and again until that glorious day when death isn't even an option anymore, because all we will know is the incredible life with God and with each other that we were all designed for in the first place. Amen.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know your need? pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
Friends, as we pray together today, I want to invite you to pray responsively with me. When I pray, "Let us walk," if you would respond by saying, "In the light of the Lord." So let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's pray together. Loving God, you set before us commandments that affect our very lives. We can only obey you by loving you above all others. Give us the will and the skill to love you with all of our hearts, minds, and strength. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we know we are often like infants in our faith. We argue over big things and little things and justify our points of view as faithful. Forgive us when we get caught up in that and fail to remember that our growth in the faith is simply a matter of following you and following your example of loving and serving in this world, which is your mission field. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Life-giving Holy Spirit, help us to understand the teachings of Jesus, the ones we love, and even more, the ones we find hard. Even before we come to understand them all, give us the strength and the will to listen and obey. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Holy God, three in one, we bring before you the needs of all countries and communities. We pray for all in Ukraine enduring the brutality of life at war and the harshness of winter. We pray also for those whose lives have been lost and those whose lives have been forever impacted by the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. We pray for those involved in the rescue and recovery that you would protect, sustain, and guide them. And we pray that you would move in the hearts of people around the world to offer help that is and will be so needed. We pray for all who seek to care for their neighbors, neighbors near and neighbors far. Help us not to merely rely on governments for justice, but to seek and do and live justice in our own daily lives. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. We lift to you now those among us who need care and those who are giving care to loved ones. Be with them, sustaining and strengthening each one and giving them a sense of your presence with them every day, whatever each day brings. We lift those we love to you now in prayer. Gracious God, as we look forward to the coming of spring and the flowering of the earth from her winter sleep, renew us also so that we might be signs of life in your world. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Finally, Jesus, make all our petitions selfless, like those you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let's pray together to dedicate the gifts you have so generously and graciously given this week to be used in God's service. Extravagant God, you lavish your love on us and inspire us to give with generosity, to love life so that we may find it again, and to live so that the world will be filled with the fragrance of your love. We ask that you would use these gifts we've given this week to do all of that and more through Jesus Christ, who offers himself for us. Amen. For our announcements for today, I'm going to ask you to put a few dates on your calendar, especially if you are here relatively local to Qualicum Beach. On February 22nd, which is a Wednesday, we will be gathering here in the sanctuary for an in-person Ash Wednesday service. That will happen at 9 a.m. It's not a very long service, but it is a wonderful and poignant way to intentionally begin the Lenten journey. And so if you are here able and free on that day, I encourage you to come out and take part in that service. A little later in that week, on Friday, February 24th, St. Mary the Protectress, our Ukrainian Orthodox Church here locally, is hosting a candlelight vigil at their church to mark the one-year anniversary of the war in Ukraine. And so again, if you are local, and particularly if that war has been placed heavily on your hearts, I encourage you to come out and be part of that candlelight vigil. It's happening at 7 p.m. on that Friday evening in French Creek outside the church there. And finally, a little later on in that same week, on Sunday, February 26th, we will be gathering for one in-person worship service here at 10 a.m., a combined service. And we're doing that because we will hold our AGM after that service. There will be the usual online service available on that day, but if you are local, I would encourage you to come in person if you can and to stay for the AGM. The agenda for that will be circulated through the annual report, which is ready to be circulated, may have even been emailed by now. If you would like a print copy, not happy with just a digital copy, you can call the office and let Adele know and she'll make sure that you get one. So February 26th is our annual general meeting. Dear friends, God has placed before us life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Follow in God's ways. Go and be people of reconciliation and integrity, letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And in all the paths you walk, may God hold you steady and close. May Christ Jesus bless you and every place you enter. And may the Spirit give you length of days and fullness of life. Go now in peace and in love to serve the Lord. Amen.
The Lord.